You're listening to Make the Call on Monocle 24 in association with The Macallan. The Macallan and Monocle 24 present Make the Call, a brand new programme that explores the amazing things that can happen when you grasp the nettle, seize an opportunity, and make the call. Both The Macallan and Monocle recognise and understand that sometimes tough decisions are necessary to make the world a truly better place. In this season of shows, we'll meet some people who've demonstrated exactly this kind of fearlessness and unwillingness to compromise on quality, integrity, and principle. Ahead in the series, we'll sit down with entrepreneurs and innovators like Andrew Peake from the Annex Hotel in Toronto and Carl Kaminsky of swim and surf brand Bather. But we kick off in conversation with the one and only Eric Speakerman. The brilliant typographer, and contrarian, is a reliably outspoken rule breaker whose faith in print has defied the digital trends and seen success in lasting impressions. I'm delighted to say Eric joins us now on Make the Call. Eric, I wanted to actually begin by going a little bit back in time to, I guess, your very early days, even as a kid, when you began to become interested in print, in printing presses, in typography and design. What were some of the most important formative experiences? Because I know you often, in several places, you lived near to print works. Was it just proximity that first sparked your interest, or was it something more, a deeper connection that resonated?
I think that proximity is probably something that I sort of made up later or put together later. No, in those days, I'm talking about the early 50s here or the 50s. I was born in 47, so I went to school in 52. Printers were part of every high street. I remember all the Italian places in Tuscany. Every town had its printer. I know it. I saw it in Brazil, for example, in Argentina, in India, in sort of some of the countries that used to be the third world, and they hadn't thrown the stuff away. Now, of course, printing plants have become plants, so they've moved to the burbs. Like in London, you know, Fleet Street, they used to print in Fleet Street, and they all moved out in the 80s because the plants became too big, and the logistics, moving paper in and out, which just became too much hassle. So it wasn't unusual, but it is true that we lived literally next door where I was born, next door to the little local rag, because at the time also every village had their own little, you know, messenger, telegraph, whatever. And as it happened, the people who ran it were the age of my parents, so they befriended them. And I would benefit by going in there, and I would get the little cutoffs. We would go in there and sit by the printing machine and draw, because I used to draw a lot. And as my father was a lorry driver, truck driver for you Americans, you know, he had, you know, a lorry and a trailer. So, and I had long, narrow paper, so I could draw five trailers. And of course, it must have, now this is post-rationalizing, the sound of the machines, the guys walking about, the noise, the smell, the grease, the dirt. I mean, printing is actually, even though it's on virgin white paper, actually quite a dirty exercise. You know, there's ink, there's grease, there's oil. So maybe that sort of, you know, if I ever went to a shrink, it'll probably come out that changed me forever. I don't know. All I know is that I used that paper, and I was kind of familiar to the sound. And then years later, we moved when I was eight. So not a few years later, we moved to another town, a little bigger. And there again, next door, literally, even though it was a bigger town, Bonn, in fact, there was the university printers, which is a much bigger place. It was a proper plant. And I went in there because I was then in charge of the school rag, and I was, what, 12 or something? For some reason, I was the designer because I could draw, right? So I would go in there, and of course, it would all set in we didn't do lick and stick, and, you know, later than you would put the layout together. I simply brought in articles, typewritten, and he would set it and put it together. I was just the messenger there were. And I remember this one moment, and he had a little proofing press with the size of this table where the pages are made up of bits of metal, and you put a bit of ink on there by hand, and you run a piece of paper over it to pull it up as the proof sheet. And then you look for the mistakes, and you maybe even give it to a proofreader before it goes into the machine, because then it's too late. And I just remember this machine, I'm not sure whether it was doing this, you know, it's all sort of like gray metal, and the type is sort of black, and then there's bits of brass in there, bits of wood in there. It looks pretty messy. And the machine's messy, the guy's wearing a blue overcoat, his hands are dirty, so when he touches paper, he puts two little pieces of paper between thumb and index finger to touch the paper, and puts it on the machine, runs this little roller over it, picks up the piece of paper, and there is on this white sheet of paper, there's these bits of black, just where the words are. Not dirt, just, if you've ever seen a printing form, you know, the background looks as like the foreground, there's no white space, it's all metal, it's messy. And especially there, because it was kind of improvised. And I just could not believe it. How did he just do that? It was total magic. I mean, for a 12-year-old kid, you know.